Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. Thanks for having me back, Jeff.
Awesome. And thanks for coming back. I'm glad it doesn't feel, or at least I assume it doesn't feel to you, like you're having to lean into the curveball every time you do the show.
No, but I lean into the curveball anyway.
All right. Well, then it works out just fine. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I'm in sitting.
That's good.
Not outstanding, you see. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said that's good because I thought that would be encouraging to you and that you would continue to work on your humor and your jokes would get better and better.
We can live in hope.
We can. Yeah. Anyhow, Brian, I'm going to try a segue that you would do. Speaking of living in hope, there's Kanye West. And Kanye, do you like that?
It's all right.
I'll work on it.
It's actually a little connected, so but we can live in hope that your segues will get worse.
Yeah. Well, the bad segue police just drove by, so
yeah.
I'm in trouble now. All right. Anyhow, so Kanye, he's been having what I'm describing as a very public Twitter-based emotional breakdown over the past couple weeks. And the latest that's come out of his Twitter tirade is that his new album, Pablo, is not going to be available anywhere except on Tidal. And he sounds like he's pretty pissed off with all the other competing streaming music services. And I'm finding this very interesting because Tidal doesn't have the following like its competitors, and yet this is the only place he's going to make his album available, and this is after publicly proclaiming he's $53 million in debt and was trying to get Mark Zuckerberg to give him money.
Well, he wanted money from Silicon Valley, period. All those rich tech icons need to be investing in his ideas because he has awesome ideas. He just doesn't have enough money to realize all of them.
Yeah, well, and right now he needs $53 million just to get back to zero. But the fact that he's limiting his album to Tidal only has me questioning how much money he's going to actually be able to bring in from his latest work.
Well, he also... correct me if I'm wrong, but he owns part of Tidal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, I mean, I get it, right? I want to promote this service that I bought. He did not create Tidal.
He bought owns it. A very, very small percentage.
Right. But he's been very public about pushing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. He went on Twitter a couple days ago and begged people to sign up for Tidal.
Right. And it worked. I mean, in so much as it brought more attention to Tidal again, they kind of ruined Tidal. We talked about this when they picked it up, because the one thing that it did was offered CD and perhaps even higher than CD quality streaming. But and that was all it offered prior to them picking it up. And then, of course, they and that was $20 a month. And now they offer a $10 a month plan that effectively gives you the same, 320K MP3 streams that you can get from Spotify, and which is similar to what you get from Apple Music. So it was kind of weird. They just sort of said, yeah, this one thing that differentiates us, don't worry about it. Just you pay us $10 and you can join us too. So it seemed like a weird play for them, and now this is even weirder. But I mean, I get it. He wants to promote this thing that he's invested in. Mm-hmm. And that's speaking to both his album and to this Tidal service. So that's fine, but sort of weird to do that and then simultaneously say these people that run other things, including people that run competing services to mine, should give me money.
Yeah, that's
but I'm not going to play ball with them. Then they're terrible people, by the way.
And they're terrible, just awful.
They're awful. They should give me money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he has great ideas.
I'm not a fan of Kanye's work personally, but to say that he is not an influential musician would be incorrect.
I actually am a fan
of
Kanye West, and our readers usually take issue with me.
Sure.
Forever suggesting that. I don't actually know if how much our readership is his target market.
Sure. I think it may be he may be looked back upon as a very influential musical figure, and it wouldn't surprise me if the term genius was applied.
Yeah, he's done a lot of production work for a lot of people. He's been involved with lots of huge hits, and he frankly does have lots of interesting ideas. This is probably not the best way to solicit investment.
Right.
Probably not.
This is Kanye's way of doing everything, including soliciting investment.
Yeah. My read from afar on him is he absolutely does believe he's the Steve Jobs of today. I disagree with him there.
Yeah, but he genuinely believes it.
He genuinely believes that. I believe that he genuinely sees himself as a genius, just teeming with so many ideas that it would be good for the world if he was given the resources to unleash all of those ideas.
If only.
If only, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, it's true. That's not typically how that works, but
it's not typically how it works. And I'm saying that as someone, I like Kanye West. I admire the braggadocio behind such claims and those attitudes. And I generally speaking think that his music is good, even when I don't like it, although I also like a lot of it.
Yep.
But this is just, this isn't going to help Tidal, and it's not going to help him, and it's not going to bring him in a bunch of investment money for his ideas. It's just kind of off kilter.
Yes. Now, that said, while you were talking, Brian, I took a look on the App Store. Tidal is currently the top downloaded free app, so maybe Kanye's plea helped some there.
Well, I saw late last night, I saw a chart of downloads where they both spiked because I think Rihanna's album dropped as a Tidal exclusive, and then Kanye dropped this. And so you had spikes that actually caught them up with Spotify. But heretofore, they've always gone right back down to trending well below Spotify's downloads. So this, mm-hmm. I mean, there is a short-term help here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I also looked at the App Store chart for top apps by revenue, and Tidal doesn't show up. Spotify is the number two app.
Yeah. Yeah, those downloads are not turning into subscribers, according to what I've seen. And there's also the little fact that his album has become one of the most heavily pirated albums of all time on the various piracy networks.
That's going to make Kanye happy.
I said that wrong. So what Torrent Freak said was that there were 10,000 people sharing it at one time, and that's never happened before. So, you know, it'd have to go a long ways to become the most heavily pirated album. But
for a brief moment, it was.
For a brief moment, it was, yes. And so, you know, this is like the whole thing is just it's a mistake. And he needs to work with Google, and he needs to work with Apple, and he needs to work with Amazon, and let his album be sold, too.
Yeah, well, what he needs to decide what his priorities are. I mean, it's, you know,
his priorities are Kanye West.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But that's weird. I said it before, this is not atypical for Kanye West to act like Kanye West, but at some level if he's going to do that, he needs to really explain why Tidal is better. It's not just, hey, please, would you use Tidal? I mean, look, it worked, but you know, I think you're right that it's going to be a short-term blip. There needs to be something compelling, and that thing that's compelling can be a sales pitch, right? But it needs to be something that convinces people over time to continue to use this. You know, we're a better service because of how we treat the artists. And that was their whole pitch back in January of last year, right? When they picked that up, I guess that was. But it doesn't, you know, they need, like, we need testimonials from artists, perhaps, that say, yeah, this is way better, not just the Kanye people. So, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
If I may, if I may harness one of my favorite pop icon moments or pop culture moments. Kanye West is sort of freaking out and having kind of a Twitter meltdown. Must be Tuesday.
I'm going to let you finish but first, Brian.
That's it.
Yeah.
But all right. That's right. No, I you know, that's a Kanye moment.
That's a very Kanye moment.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm going to let you finish, Brian. Yeah. Hey, okay. Well, then I'm thinking maybe it's time to move on to something a little more upbeat. And most people wouldn't think that I would transition to Steve Wozniak for just good old upbeat, but that's exactly where we're going. So Steve Wozniak is teaming up with some other people to make a tech-related Comic-Con. And the idea is that instead of making a Comic-Con that's in line with what we traditionally see, which is very heavily focused on just the entertainment side, that they want to look at things that fall under like technology stuff. The way this looks to me is that it's going to be more like Comic-Con meets Maker Faire, and so this is just coming together now. So it's not like people can jump in and put it on their schedule and take off and head out to California for Silicon Valley Comic Con, but it's coming, and it's coming this year, and I thought it would be interesting to get your take on this whole blending of our comic entertainment industry with just a general technology.
Well, comic books have been nothing but more mainstream every year for like the last, I don't know, 20 years, right? Maybe 30 years even.
Well, I will give you 20 years. And then especially in the last, say, like 15, as we've been getting more and more of the comic book based movies, especially the stuff that Marvel's been cranking out. DC kind of owns the small screen, and Marvel owns the big screen.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And when I look at this, this is awesome. I just asked for your opinion, and I'm going to give you mine.
Well, you're our comic book expert. So I think that's suitable.
I have some thoughts on this, but I'm curious as to yours too, Jeff. Yeah.
All right, so my initial reaction is, why hasn't this been happening all along? Especially because the technology that we've been using, especially over the last 20 years, has been changing dramatically as far as content creation for comics. We've gone from a very analog world where you have artists involved in the various processes of creating a comic book, and they have to work on something, and then it gets couriered to someone else, and they work on it. It gets couriered to someone else, and they work on it. And so much of what was happening, it was being done by people physically carrying the only copy of a piece of art from person to person so it could be worked on to ultimately create a comic book. And now we're in a world where this is being done digitally. People are using Macs. They're using Wacom tablets, and they're using Illustrator and Photoshop and other applications. And they can collaborate in real time on a comic book or another comic work. And they don't even have to be anywhere near each other. And you don't have to worry about a courier losing the only copy of whatever it is you're working on. And then, of course, now movies are the big thing, too.
Well, all right. Well, that deals with the comic book creation side of things. What does that have to do with Comic-Con?
Yeah, see, I see this as... I'm going to let you finish, Jeff, but first, I guess I'll say this. I see it as there is this overlap in interest between people that are into comic books and people that are into technology. But you know, I mean, it seems like they're focusing on the tech that would be closer to the comic book side of things and not just showing off, you know, the latest in chip design or something, right? Which might interest Waz, but not necessarily everyone else at Comic-Con. But, you know, they're Google's going to do a VR zone. There's, you know, an app section for developers to show off their stuff. But, you know, a lot of people are consuming comic books on their iPads now. So, you know, there are their tablets in general. But these kinds of things make sense, right? Why limit it to just, you know, this narrow focus? I mean, it's Waz. So now it should be mentioned that Waz has always had a soft spot in his heart for building communities, and is happy to lose money doing so, and has done that many times in the past. He had his festivals, and I can't remember the name of them, but he had those music festivals that he held in California, where he famously lost all kinds of money. And Glenn Frey, bless his heart, was invited to the Eagles, or Eagles, because that's the name of the band, were invited to play there, and... That was when Glenn Frey took out that ad in the New York Times with the big middle finger saying, no, we still won't. It doesn't matter how much you want to pay us. We're still not going to reform the band. And then, of course, eventually they did, but not for Waz. But you know, Waz likes to do this kind of stuff, and he likes to bring people together. I think this one actually will probably make him some money. I think it will be a profitable venture. And I think it's smart to blend all that stuff together. But you have to understand it's coming from, you know... many people, I'm sure, but Waz at the, you know, kind of at the helm of it. So it makes sense to blend this stuff. I think it'll be a fit for the attendees.
I think it'll be a good fit too. I mean, there's a lot that's going on with artists that are looking for new and interesting ways to improve their craft. So this is going to give them some new ideas. And then you also have the gaming side, where comic book properties are a big thing right now. So that fits in nicely too. And when you have a bunch of artists that are already using these tools and you get them together and they can share ideas, that just leads to even better art, I think. And a big part, at least for me, of going to a Comic-Con is getting to meet the artists that create the works that I'm enjoying. And I just think this is going to fit really well together. And I was wrong. I thought this was happening later this year. It's on March 18th through the 20th. Yeah. It's so like it's coming right up.
Yeah. Well, that's technically later this year.
All right. Well, so I get off
my technicality. Not very much so.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, if I was...
It'll likely only attract locals. You know, mostly attract locals, I should say. I mean, there will be some that will travel for this, but given the proximity, time, the temporal proximity of it, you know, not a lot of people are going to be able to make travel plans and do a multi-day thing and, you know, all of this stuff. But that's okay. The focus that he's got going, I think, makes sense for that kind of general area where out where you live, Brian. You should go.
You should go.
Yeah.
If I were in the Bay Area, I would go. But since I'm not, you could totally be my proxy.
Yeah, I will likely go.
Yeah.
Awesome. That'll be cool.
The US Festival. That was it. I kept wanting to say Our Festival, but the Our Festival was a much smaller band that puts that together every year. But it's the US Festival that was famously lost all kinds of money at and enjoyed the heck out of and has no regrets about, according to him.
Good for him.
He's kind of awesome that way.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Hey, we're out of time. So we're going to have to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us, man.
Oh, sure. And thank you in advance for being my Silicon Valley Comic-Con proxy.
I shall push up my glasses for you symbolically right now.
You're the best ever. Mm-hmm. And Dave, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Fun stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.